Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
What's up, Nadia?
What's up, Lon?
He can keep his tongue. Wrong show. Whoops.
Wrong show. Whoops.
We're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Oh, man. Last week's Hot D has a lot of like memorable quotes. So yeah, I can't wait to get into that. But first, fortunately and maybe unfortunately, we got to start with Happily Ever After.
Ever After.
And I thought we can, you know, just jump into your favorite couple, Lon. Sumit and Jenny.
Okay, so this actually was kind of entertaining. But again, for me, Jenny is just... In the very first part, she kind of opens up towards their later scenes. But in the first part, it's just so annoying. You know, you're boring. You're boring. And if you're going to marry a guy this young who still has a lot of life in him, you can't
you gotta keep up.
Yeah.
At least a little bit, right? Like,
yeah. And the thing is, too, this is relationship stuff. She's over here talking like, oh, you know, I'm older and I know everything there is to know and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, if you know everything there is to know, then you'd know that what he's trying to do is bring some spice into the relationship. And this is basic stuff. You do fun things together.
Yep.
Try to have some fun and spice things up in the bedroom a little bit. And he's making an attempt here. And I just think she's not comfortable doing it and she doesn't want to do it. But like, she eventually caves in and budges, and it seems like she had a good time. They both had a good time. They were able to laugh about it and stuff. And at the end of the day, if that's the takeaway, then that's the takeaway. It doesn't have to be, you know, this weird sex thing that she's making it out to be. Like, you go there, you have fun, you come out of it. And if you learn something, then even better.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the beginning of the episode, she just like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I'm just rolling my eyes the entire time. But it was good that like she had the conversation. That was her daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter was like able to kind of, I think, talk her into it too. Like, so in terms of the entire episode, Jenny and Sumit actually had a pretty entertaining section, I think, once they got to the Kama Sutra stuff and they were having a laugh and she's like trying to straddle him and stuff. And it's visibly uncomfortable for everyone else in the room too. But I just thought it was fun. It was entertaining. And I'm glad she got over it.
Yeah. I think the real winner here is the producers who thought of like this activity for them to do, because come on, we're in India. How can we not cover Kama Sutra, right? It's like trying to play up the stereotype. And also, in a way, trying to clown Jenny. I feel like I kind of feel bad for her, because it's like, I wonder if she's being forced to say those lines where, you know, she said, well, I'm old, I just want to have sex and go to sleep. To play up the age difference. And that's why I was thinking like, man, the producers are either clowning her or this is just like a moment of genius. You know, like they thought of like, okay, yeah, maybe this season we're going to play up your age and we're going to like make it so jarring and make it the talking point, the center of this whole season of you guys. And
try to fabricate these situations where she's visibly uncomfortable.
And
we saw that she didn't like doing yoga with his mom. Let's take it to the next level.
Kama Sutra.
Yeah.
And then of course they had to interview the yoga instructor, right? They had to field those questions where they ask him, what do you think about this older woman right here and this young gentleman? And of course he had to give the answer of like, well, actually, in my class, I've never seen such an age difference. And, you know, this is not typical in India. And I'm like, really, you got to like drag him into this and like just to add on to the commentary that, you know, this is a very odd couple. It's like, come on.
Probably led him into that answer. Yeah.
Yeah. They serve him the question. He just has to answer it, you know. But yeah, you're right. I think this is a fun scene with them, you know, trying the cowgirl, and clearly they captured the awkwardness. And I don't know if Sumit was genuinely enjoying himself or if he's even turned on or if he's just going along with it.
Yeah.
But aside from the whole playing up the stereotype and the, you know, the whole ages thing, I think kind of par for the course here. Like, I kind of expect that this is where we're going with them. And I think the next thing that I'm going to predict is Jenny possibly convincing him to move back to the US.
Yeah, and him siding again or wanting again to bring his family together.
Yeah. Didn't he already sort of plan that idea too? Because weren't they looking for like a vacuum cleaner? Or is that next episode where he talks about, well, we got to get this vacuum cleaner because we got to clean the house. I mean, what if my parents come in and try to visit us? And she's like, I thought we're over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's still hopeful. So that I think we can tell as much that he's still pretty hopeful that they can reconcile with each other. But what about Shaida and Bilal?
So I wanted to say this one was kind of up and down for me. So at first I thought Bilal was making excuses. And then when he said, well, you're over here threatening the D word and stuff, divorce. And I don't want you to abandon me for talking about having kids. So I was like, what the hell? He's got to be making shit up. Why would she say that if she were to leave him when they have kids, especially with a prenup, she's not going to have anything. You know what I mean? Why would she say that? And then it comes out that she actually is threatening him. And I'm like, oh, wait, so he's telling the truth. But then it comes out that she's doing that because he's not going to have kids with her. And she's like, well, if you're wasting my time, then of course I'm going to leave. So it turned into this round robin, right? Like,
Yeah, this vicious circle of like, what? You
it's
say you're gonna leave?
the,
Oh, the D word.
yeah, right. So she's saying that because if you're going to waste my time, then I'm going to leave. But he's turning that around on her. And he's saying, well, I don't want to have kids if you're just going to leave. No, she's going to leave because you don't want to have
Manipulative.
kids. Yeah, yes, exactly. He flips it, right? And then, like, we see she gets up and walks away. And I'm just like, that's so frustrating. That's so fucking frustrating, dude. Like,
Let's start with when you're teaching someone how to drive, you shouldn't put your hand under the wheel because you could potentially endanger both of you. And I know how protective he is on his bends.
yeah.
I get it. My own husband say should never come between a man and his car. And I was like, he shouldn't put his hands on the driving wheel if he wants to teach her, because that's not the way to teach someone. You should give them instruction, not try to like take over the wheel, because that could cause a calamity. So let's start there. And then I'm just very disappointed in how he manipulates the narrative, right? Like you said. And when she said that they're trying, to him, he's not. You know, like they're both not on the same page here. And then we come to find out, oh, they're still using a condom. I mean, come on, you're a married couple using a condom? Let's talk about that. I mean, how do people feel about that? Because I thought if you're betrothed, well, I'm using betrothed because of Hot D, obviously, but
Betrothed.
if you're married to one another, like, do you need protection? I mean, do you not trust your partner?
You do if you're not trying to have kids.
Exactly. So it's like
Yeah.
so telling. Like, the rest of us know that Bilal's not trying to have kids. And the other thing I hate about what couples do to like some of these guest doctor, right, on the show is that, I mean, clearly he's a gynae, but they're using him as a psychiatrist too. He's like, well, you know, she keeps threatening me with divorce, so I
Yeah.
that's why I know I just don't want to have kids because I've been divorced before. And I'm like, bruh, he's just a gynae, man. He's not here
Schedule
to
an
hear.
appointment with a shrink for
I know.
that.
Like, go to couples
Yeah,
therapy or couple.
relationship
Yeah,
counselor.
exactly. And the poor guy's like trying to make an earnest face, like, okay, yeah, okay. Well, you know, hormones look good, but you know, unfortunately, your ovarian test is still pending.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy is so dramatic. But yeah, I think Bilal, man, I really don't know why Shaida is still with him. It's crazy. Like, he's giving her the runaround, and I'm not for it.
Yeah, maybe this is all fabricated again. We can't put
Let's
it
hope
past
so.
them. Yeah, because whenever I scroll through Instagram and stuff, we're at the fucking baseball game or whatever, and they're smiley and happy. And I'm like, is that real? What's real?
They're
Like,
frauding us, dude. They're
it's,
probably
yeah,
frauding us.
like,
They're
I don't
happy.
know. Yeah, what if that's the fake stuff? I don't know anymore. I don't know. I'm like, obviously, it's social media. They could be lying about that too. So I'm just like, I don't know.
So I feel like when it comes to Usman, We've been through this before, haven't we? With the mom telling him, like, hey, don't fuck around with American women, man. Go find someone local. Like, I feel
Yeah.
like I've heard that speech before on
Yeah.
subtitles. Like,
She
gone.
feels that way too.
Yeah.
That's why we got the scene we got. I'm like, dude, she already fucking knows, dude. She's going through deja vu again. She's
Yeah.
like, nope. No.
Yeah. I don't know why Usman goes through all this trouble to like get a no from his mom.
Yeah. Again, he's got his eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
He really does wants to come to America. I think this is all about his music, right?
Financial security too, I guess. Yeah.
So, he's trying to be a bigger star. And you know what? He should be happy. He should be happy with where he's at now. I applaud his ambition. I think it's good to want more for yourself. I'm all about that. But I think where he's at, he's reached the pinnacle. He's got people that recognize him. He can go wherever he wants and stuff like that. Like,
He wants to be invited to the BET Awards. Come on. He hasn't reached the pinnacle yet. You haven't reached the pinnacle until you go on BET Awards or like maybe get invited to PDD's like white party or something or like, I don't know.
your music is playing on American television.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
mean,
He actually made it
that's an
if you think about it.
accomplishment.
Yeah, that's an accomplishment. But were you surprised with the article I sent you about Usman's net worth?
I was surprised, but then part of me is just like, that's a lot of money in where he's from,
Nigeria,
right?
right?
Nigeria? That's ballin', dude, in
Yeah, he's
Nigeria.
pretty balling if you convert it. So he's pretty comfortable, I mean.
And let's be real. Like, I looked at that number and I'm thinking from California standards, not so much, but everywhere else in the US,
Oh,
perhaps,
yeah.
that's
Goes a
good.
long way.
Yeah.
Yep,
So,
yep, yep.
anyways, y'all, for those who may not know, it was reported that it's about 75K.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, it's relative, right? I don't want to say that's not a lot. I'm pretty sure there are people middle class that are balking at me right now, but it doesn't go far in San Francisco, is all I'll say.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money. I
Yeah,
remember when I
it's a
was
lot of
making
money.
60K going, oh man, if I could only make 75K. I remember those days. That's still a lot of money
Yeah.
when I looked at it and had to put that into perspective and go, okay, so I remember those days when I was thinking 75K was really good. And now
Yeah.
take that and put it in Nigeria. Like, dude, he's balling. I think
Falling. Yeah. He's making it rain. All right, last couple, unless you wanna get a update on you know who, but last couple, we see Andre meet with his immigration attorney and finding out that he could potentially get deported because, according to her, it's very rare to see someone being requested to be interviewed even though they have kids with an American citizen. But then I was also thinking, well, Yara had to go through an interview and she had a kid with Jovi. So that shouldn't shock Andre. Not that Andre should know that that's going on while he's going through that. But I think that scene with the immigration lawyer, I'm pretty sure the TLC producers provided some of that talking point because at first, when she talked about, well, what did you do in your home country? And I was thinking maybe they did want to dig deeper into his past, right? And see if he had been the corrupted police guy or if he had been arrested, he was involved in some illegal activity, like who knows? But then when she gets into, like, well, do you think someone had reported you? And then immediately he goes into the whole, like, oh yeah, must be Libby's family. And then he came back to Libby and complained about, I don't understand why I'm getting this interview. And like his focus went directly to the negative, right? He's like, well, I'm going to get deported because of your family. It's like, no, bitch, you might get deported because you had a shady past. And I guess it didn't help that you're an asshole to her family members too. But this is the shady past that I think the immigration officers are going to look into. So I think the more I watch Andre, like, I'm not a fan of his communication style. I mean, let's just call it what it is, right? He's hella rude to his wife. I can't believe Libby takes it. And he can be father of the year to Ellie, but he's not husband of the year to Libby with the way he talks down to her and the way he screams at her at times. Dude, I don't care, like, if you're Moldovan or whatever, I don't care. You gotta speak to her with some degree of respect.
Right. And she's the one that has his back.
Yeah.
Like, she is ride or die for this guy. So
Yep.
to hear him shout at her, or even just the way he talks to her sometimes when he's not shouting, it still comes off really rude and like demeaning. And I'm just like, dude, this woman fights for you, man. Like, maybe she's used to that. And she seems to take it pretty well on camera. Like,
Yeah.
she'll push back or shrug it off or whatever like that. So, but I don't know. This felt like, for me, it felt a little fabricated because it's like they don't have anything to talk about. You know what I mean? That's why it turned into the Charlie show. That's why it turned into Libby's family show. But they know that they can't just keep milking that content. We got to
Yeah.
come back to Libby and Andre. For me, it felt like, dude, is this forced? Do they just not have anything interesting going on right now?
Yeah.
Maybe they're a happy family. And you can't have that on this show. We need drama.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, let's bring up something at the immigration office that there was trouble or something. And then now we can have them freak out. And now we give the viewers the drama that's expected.
Yeah.
Right. And I was just like, I don't know. To me, it just seems like this is kind of forced. And now Andre is back in his element. Oh, I don't know what's going on. Fuck this. Blah, 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 blah. And part of me was like, you know what? If they had to go to Moldova, it would be more interesting. I would watch a season of them in Moldova and away from their family.
Oh,
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Away
Yeah.
from Libby's family, I mean. And maybe have some scenes with Andre's family more and see how they live in Moldova. I would watch that over, Libby's family's drama. Part of me was like, I hope this is true.
Yeah.
And maybe they will have to leave. But it just seemed to me like kind of an opportune moment to spring this up. Like,
Yeah, for
oh,
sure.
it's back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely forced drama there. Here's the thing, right? A lot of these couples, when you see their social media accounts, they look happy as hell. Like they look like a happy family. But then they portray the opposite on the show. I don't know where you have to suspend your disbelief, like the social media facade or the TV personality. Like which one is real? Like, we talked about Bilal and Shaida. Shaida looks happy as hell.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, so is she really having problems with Bilal? Is she harboring something and she's only showing it on TV? Like, which part of them is real and genuine? And I don't know about you, Lon, but that's part of the reason why I watch reality TV, even though I know part of it is scripted. But I do want to see the genuine parts of them that comes out that's not scripted, Because there's only so
Right.
much acting you can do. Like, surely, like, there has to be some moments where you go off script. Like, for example, and I hate to mention this, she who shall not be named, she's genuinely batshit insane. Like, batshit insane. I think that's the real her. I would be surprised if anyone could come up to us and say, hey, actually, your girl Aang, she's such a sweet peach,
She's a
peach,
sweetheart.
Georgian
Yeah,
peach.
in real life.
Yeah. And I'm like, you sure? Because we saw videos of her on Instagram, like berating people on the plane. Like, that's her. Like, that's her. That's not acting. That's not like cameras following her and she has to be like a certain unhinged
I forgot that
character.
incident. I'm glad you brought that up. Yep.
Yeah. So
That's
that's
her.
really her.
Totally
She's
her.
that batshit insane, y'all. And same with like Big Ed, yeah. I'm so glad that we're not really talking about Ed
Yeah.
and Liz. I mean,
I feel bad
on.
for her, though.
I feel bad for her, but I think overall my thoughts on them is they're not meant to be together. If you've broken up so many times and you're starting to lose your close friends and family because of your toxic relationship, then it's probably time to just go your separate ways and not cling on to each other.
How about this? Rather than talk about Big Ed, let's talk about Liz for a little bit. We got a
Okay.
couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So, do you think she signed on because maybe she wanted to be on the show? Or do you think she actually does love Ed and it's like, all right, well, I'm in a relationship with Ed because I love the guy? Or was this more of an opportunity for her to actually get some 15 minutes?
Yeah, I feel like it's a combination, Lon. It's like easy money Plus, maybe she does have a thing for him. But you also have to remember she's a single mom with lots of abandonment issues. Maybe she does have like some sort of affinity for men like Big Ed. I mean, I feel bad for her because I feel like once you get to know her backstory, she sounds damaged, like she needs lots of therapy. Like, it's this last episode where we saw her actually interact with her mom, like her biological mom. She was raised by her grandparents, so she and her mom were never close, according to her. So you can tell that that was such a huge milestone for her to get her mom to come to their engagement party and for her mom to like speak up about their relationship and kind of gave her blessings. I can see that Liz is a little bit damaged, which is why, like, I don't want to say it's Liz's fault, or I just think that they're both not in the right place to start a relationship, or I mean, less
It's
a marriage.
toxic. It's
It's very
toxic.
toxic.
Yeah,
Yeah.
every
It's hard to
episode,
watch.
it's like,
Yeah. That's why I said I'm glad we're not talking about them because I know we're not fans of Big Ed, but they're just toxic. It's like constant argument and it's just cringy and I feel secondhand embarrassment for sure for them.
Same.
Just like how Renee feels secondhand embarrassment being with Angela. But anyway, Lon, what is your WTF moment?
This is, there wasn't a lot of moments for me on this show. I think if there were, would definitely have gone to Angela or Big Ed, but because I fast forwarded through those,
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say, surprise, surprise, Bilal. Bilal again, trying to turn this around and make it Shaida's fault why they're not having kids. You don't want kids. You're leading her on.
Yeah.
Like, just fess up to that.
Yeah.
No beating behind the bush. Don't say, oh, you're threatening to leave me. And again, for me, it's always whenever he gets this opportunity to throw her under the bus or to make her look bad, he goes for it and he takes it. And now he's playing, I'm the victim here, guys. Like, she said she was gonna leave me, and that's why I don't want to have kids. No, you don't want to have kids because you don't want to have kids.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Don't be making these excuses up, that all of a sudden, like, you feel insecure. And if she reassured you more that she was gonna stick around, don't make up
Yeah.
this story, dude.
Too many excuses, dude. My WTF moment is also Bilal. So, same thing, same deal. I just don't like the guy, turning this around on Shaida. And I really hope Shaida pokes some hole in those condoms pretty soon.
Yeah, she said something like that, right?
She
What,
did. She said
alluded
there's
to
an.
something like
She
that?
said there was some oopsie moment, so she suspected there might be a
Oopsie moments or
bun in the
something.
oven as well. So good for you, Shaida. You get what you want. All right, Lon, we'll take a break and we'll come back with some hot D. And we're back.
Bum bum ba ba bum 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 bum.
Yeah, I gotta have some Game of Thrones music there. So, Lon, there are two more episodes before the end of season one of House of the Dragon. So, what do you think of episode 8?
Another time jump, right?
Yep, another
That
6 years time jump.
another 6 years. So I think it was good to kind of establish that the children are older now, and it looks like they're still holding on to some grudges, right? This was the night where there is kind of false hope. Viserys brings the family together for this dinner, and he's like, let's squash it all tonight. Do it for me. Do it for your grandsire. Do it for your king, right? Do it for your dad, for.
Yeah.
You mean every fucking title he's got in the
Yeah.
book, right? Do it, right? And
He's like
then you,
Soulja Boy in that way. He's got so many AKAs, but anyway.
we get this kind of slow-mo where he's like watching everybody getting along, and then you're just like, this isn't how it's gonna end, though. There's still two more episodes, right?
Yeah.
And then only for it to erupt in the end because the kids are doing their shit, right? And I felt bad because I think Jace was making an honest attempt to try to hold everything together. Like, watch your mouth when you're speaking with my betrothed or whatever. That was Jace, right? Or
Yeah,
was
that
it
was
the other
Jace.
one
Yep.
of them, right? And
Yep,
then
the older one. Yep.
Aegon still like hits on her at the dinner table. You're just like, what a fucking asshole. And I think Eamon's different. I think when you lose an eye, you kind of have a right to hold it against them. You kind of have a right to hold it against people. So I didn't really blame Eamon that much. And Eamon was cool up until the other kid started snickering because they put the pig in front of him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so that part was like, dude, you don't want to test this guy. This guy's going one-on-one with Kristen Cole. Like,
he has one of the biggest dragon in the realm.
He has the biggest dragon. Yeah.
Biggest and oldest, though. Biggest and oldest.
Why are you doing this? You see how strong the guy is, you know, and it erupts into that. And the grudges are still there even after 6 years. Even before that, right, we get to the who's going to succeed.
Driftmark. What's his
name? Yeah, who's going to inherit Driftmark?
Yeah, right, who's going to become the Lord of Tides?
The Lord of Tides.
Yeah.
And this, I think, is the scene that was pivotal for everybody. So I think in this scene, there's actually two scenes, I think, going on here.
Mm-hmm.
The first scene, which was strong in its own right, was Vaemond kind of realizing that, you know what, it's death before dishonor. I will fucking die before you dishonor me. And like, he does it. He stands up for himself, knowing full well what's going to happen. I think everybody in the room knows that the king's Viserys has made this threat before. Anybody who questions the lineage or whatever gets their tongue taken out. So he knows this full well, and he's just like, I don't give a fuck, man. if I'm going to die here, I'm going out, man. I'm going out like a G.
Yeah.
And he does it. He goes balls to the wall, calls him bastards, calls
princess a whore.
Like, you're not going to do this to me, dude. So that was the first, I thought, for me, like, the scene stealer, obviously, is Daemon. But I wanted to give credit to that scene first, because ballsy.
Do you think Vaemon saw that coming? I mean, because it didn't come across to me that he actually was like, well, if you're going to kill me, I might as well say it. Because I think he was just saying it, not realizing that Daemon is going to literally, not backstab, but literally back decapitate him. I was watching the behind-the-scenes stuff, and the real actor who played Vaemond was joking about, well, is it really an honor, like, when you kill someone from the back? Like, I think it kind of hinted to me, or at least it alludes to the fact that he probably didn't see that coming, and he was just saying his piece because he just wants to say it for the entire room to hear, and he didn't really know that he's going to get executed for it.
The way I interpreted that was, he didn't know Daemon was going to take his head off.
Yeah.
But I think he knew that he was going to stand up to the king, and he was going to do it in his fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, you know what I mean? You're not going to do this to me. Like, you run your family the way you run your family. But don't tell me I'm going to lose the throne to bastards.
Yeah.
To people who are not my...
They're not true Valyrians.
They're not true Valyrians. Yeah. This is the Valyrian name. You're dishonoring my family. Because they're supposed to be Laenor's kids.
Yeah, right? they're supposed to be Valyrians.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, those are not Laenor's kids. You're not going to deny my birthright over some bastards. Like, so I think he definitely didn't know he was going to get his head cut off, but I think he knew where he was at. He had the mind, and Viserys had to remind him, like, you're just the second son.
Yeah.
And he stood up. He was like, I'm going to fucking say it.
Yeah.
So I don't think he expected to get his head taken off right then and there, but he knew there were going to be consequences to what he was about to say.
Yeah.
There were so many chances. Viserys was like, you know, don't lose your place here. And Daemon even urged him, right? Go on, say it.
And he
went for it. He swung for the fences, man.
I want to say, in that particular scene, what I didn't expect is that Princess Rhaenys actually sided with her niece, Rhaenyra, in the end. Because remember, Rhaenyra came to her and said, look, man, we got to have an alliance here. Why not I betroth my sons to your, I guess, would you call them like granddaughters or something, right? Because they are like, they're literally actually Daemon's own kids, but with Laena, you know, his deceased wife. So why don't we just betroth them and, you know... And
the game, right? Yeah. They're playing the game.
Yeah, here. Exactly. Our family. And she was like, not having it. She was like, well, I'm just going to step aside and watch as you bend the knee,
Right. The
to,
high towers will take
yeah.
their first blow,
Yeah,
right? Or something.
exactly. And then, like, I was surprised
Plot
when,
twist.
yeah, she was Targaryen through and through. I guess she really was like, maybe had a soft spot or a last minute change of heart or change of mind. And she's like, well, Vaemond is not helping his case, and I'm not gonna side with him. I guess they're also hopeful that Corlys will survive this. So, and that's what her husband wanted, which is to pass it on to Laenor's kids, even though they are clearly bastards. But yeah, I mean, she's honoring it, you know, because I think when she heard that her brother was like, well, the only person that can say anything about this matter is Princess Rhaenys, his cousin.
I felt that too.
So
It's a good thing you brought that up.
yeah, and
I
I think she
felt
was
that.
like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'm glad I have a say in this because here's what I'm gonna say.
Right. She felt empowered in that moment.
Yeah.
And also, I felt that she didn't like Vaemond's tone with her
Yes.
up to that moment.
Yep.
In the beginning of the episode, when he was like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And then in the room, when he was like, this is my shit. And then, like you said, Viserys is like, well, let's hear what Rhaenys has to say. Rhaenys is
Yeah.
like, oh, okay, here we go.
Exactly. The other takeaway from that scene, Lon, and I mentioned this to you earlier, is how gleeful, like, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but how gleeful Aemon looked when he saw Daemon
Like he got
decapitate.
turned on or something. He
Yeah,
just
like
like,
he was like, oh, yeah, do that again.
Yeah.
I want more of that. Like the carnage, like he really revels in that. Like it was such a turn on for him. And he was like, you
Yeah.
can see the sparkle in his
Kind of
eyes.
scary.
Yeah,
Yeah,
in
like,
his one
uh-oh.
eye too. And like, you're like, oh man, this guy, whoever played him, I don't know, I haven't looked him up on IMDb, but whoever played Aemon, this version of Aemon, does a really great job with that one eye, to be honest,
Yeah.
like with his facial expression, because with that one eye too, like he has that sinister look. Like you
It's
fuck
the
around, you
look of a
find out.
killer.
Yes,
It totally.
cold-blooded
When they
killer for
came and he was
sure.
training with Kristen, he was like,
Yeah.
are you guys here to train? And
Yeah.
you're just
Nephews,
like,
are you here to train? And then
yeah,
like
like,
I got scared
yeah, you could tell he's
and
like,
then
dude, he wants to fight, dude.
yeah, he was ready to get down and kill someone, like hurt someone.
Yeah.
So yeah, Aemon is like the character that I would look out for. Like I'm not too enticed by his brother Aegon. I think that Aegon's gonna be, I wanna say he's like Tormund Lannister, you know, like kind of like, eh, you know, like meh, you know. Whereas Aemon is more like Joffrey, where he's like, yeah,
Yeah.
let's get fucked up, you know, like
But
let's.
what a shitty thing too. Let's not overlook. What a shitty thing he did with the servant Diana, right?
Yeah, like I mean,
The
it's
R word, sorry, triggering there.
the
R
yeah
word.
the R word for sure. I mean, it's yeah. I
Shows
mean,
his character. Like this is a guy that's
he
yeah.
takes what he wants. He's just a
Yeah.
taker. Yeah.
And then he tried to play the victim at the end of it.
Yeah.
Whatever I do is not enough for you and Dad or whatever. I'm just shut up, dude. That's not the point here.
Yeah.
I'm like,
And I forgot actually at that point that he was already married to his own sister.
yes, yeah. So there's
So,
a lot going on in this episode to unpack here, y'all. We're
yeah.
just glancing through it. And before I forget, didn't Damon and Rhaenyra also introduce their two children?
Yeah.
I'm
Aegon
like,
the
these
third
names,
and
y'all.
Viserys. So I guess it was Viserys the second. So basically, if we were to skip forward, and again, maybe the lesson learned here is stay off the milk of the poppy because that really gets you high or something. Because the
Yeah.
last words that he told
Allison.
Alicent, those were not meant for Alicent. I think
Right.
most of us viewers know that that was him just continuing that conversation that he had the night before, I presume, with Rhaenyra about the Song of Fire and Ice, about the prince that was promised. It was based on Aegon's dream, I believe, or his foresight or whatever. So like when Alicent put that all together, she's like, oh, he made me promise that Aegon will be king of the Seven Realms so that he can unite all of them. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a
Yeah,
fucked up way to
it
end the
was so
show.
messed up. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate it when they kind of like jumble things up like that. Like it's such a messy way of like creating that conflict, you know?
And it comes right after Allison and Rhaenyra, like, really
Reconciled.
kind of
Yeah.
reconcile it. Yeah. And
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, like two steps forward, like
I
three
felt
steps
so
back.
happy in that moment. She's like, are you
Yeah.
gonna come back? And she's like, all right, fine, I'll come back. She's like, yes, the king and I would really like that. I'm like, oh, you know, I was just like, oh, that's so nice. And then
Yeah.
this happens, and I'm just like,
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all kind of know that the show cannot just end there. Like, this is the beginning of the Targaryen Civil War. So I guess they kind of like are working up to that, right? Like, okay, how did it become Team Green versus Team Black? What is the conflict? Why are the children also having conflicts of their own? So, I mean, you can tell that the children are still beefing with each other. And I guess next week we're going to see that the adults are going to get back into it because now everyone is divided between people who pledged their allegiance to Rhaenyra versus people who are like, okay, well, the queen said Aegon the Second is supposed to be the king, so I guess he must be Aegon the Second. So, like, you see the division, the line being drawn between the commoners and the people in the realm. So, yeah, we're just about to see the beginning of it. All right, Lon, anything else to add with Hot D?
The last thing I wanted to mention was we get a short, very, very short glimpse of Missaria again. And I'm like, oh, two episodes left and you're gonna drop in on us like that? So I'm curious about that because she didn't have much, but she just asked one of her ears or whatever, servants, whatever. I don't know who that person was, like. It must have been a great time or something, and it was a fleeting scene. I almost forgot about it until I watched the episode again, and I was like, "Oh shit, what the hell is this about?"
Yeah, that
But
was
I
a
made a
servant.
mental note, like, "Okay, well, we're gonna get to see more of her."
Yeah, that was the servant that told Alicent about Aegon, yeah, harassing the chambermaid or something. And I think too, I want to say Mysera might be harboring a bastard child, a Targaryen bastard child. I'm not sure if you saw
In the
the
trailer,
trailer.
yeah, there was
Yeah, there was a
okay,
young kid
fuck,
who's of white hair,
I did see
and
that.
I was thinking like, man, Aegon must be fucking around a lot. Either that or this must be one of Daemon's bastard
I was
child.
thinking maybe Damon, yeah.
Yeah. And I think what they're trying to do in order to get Aegon ascend to the throne is, I believe Aemon is going around killing any potential bastards out there. So whether it be Aegon's own bastard or Daemon's bastard or anyone that could potentially ruin his brother's ascension to the throne. So that's what I think is going to happen in the next episode, but we shall see.
We shall.
Yeah. All right, Lon, any last words to our listeners before we go?
Rest in peace, Angela Lansbury. Just
Oh,
heard she
damn, dude.
passed.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And didn't
Yeah.
someone else pass recently, too?
Oh, man. Yeah. Who was it?
I
Coolio?
forgot. Coolio.
Coolio.
Yes, it was
Oh,
Coolio.
no. Yeah. Well, I was actually
Tough
going to.
month.
It was a tough month.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé WTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.